Last week, I reported that Conor McGregor had not been tested by USADA since the third quarter of 2021. So more or less a year plus since he was tested by USADA, which makes me wonder, is Conor McGregor in the USADA testing pool at all? Because when you look at the other fighters who had fought around the same time as he has and had the same amount of time off, they've been tested a lot more. Even someone like a John Jones, a Chris Weidman, even a Travis Brown or a Uriah Faber who have not fought for years, they've been tested more than McGregor has been since his last USADA test. So I think it's fair then to wonder, is he in the testing pool? What makes me think that he might be in the testing pool is that he's still in the UFC rankings, the official UFC rankings. Now, that's not to say that he is 100% in the pool because the UFC controls those rankings and there's no transparency in those rankings. They move people in and out of the rankings on a whim. But what I would say is if McGregor is out of the pool, he should be out of the rankings. I think that's the only fair thing. Is that going to happen? I don't know, because like I said, of course the UFC controls those rankings. And if they want McGregor in those rankings, well, he's going to stay in those rankings, isn't he? And I think that's the situation we're in. I have no proof, but looking at the big picture, it appears that McGregor is not really in the pool. And if he is in the pool, well, then there's other questions that need to be answered. Will those questions get answered? Of course not, because it's the UFC. But I think if McGregor is out of the pool, he needs to be removed from the rankings because that makes things fair to all the other fighters. Because if he's not in the pool, he's not eligible to fight, and therefore he should not be in the rankings because he's taking up a spot for someone who is fighting, is eligible to fight, and could use that number next to their name for whatever reason. But McGregor's holding that up. He's taking that number. I would hope that there'd be some transparency here, and that's my big goal here, is to get transparency, not just in the rankings, but with the UFC to say, all right, if you're not in the pool, we're going to remove you from the rankings because you're not eligible to fight. And we know you're not eligible to fight for at least 6 months until you reinstate and get back in the pool. So big picture, I don't know if Conor McGregor's in the pool. On one hand, I think he is not just because of the numbers of tests. On the other hand, the UFC has him eligible to be ranked. And with that eligibility, maybe he is in the pool and he just somehow escaped getting tested while other fighters have been tested multiple times. I don't know. What I really want here is transparency. I want to know, and I think others should want this same thing. I want to know who is in the pool because that's fair to everyone. It's fair to fans. It's fair to other fighters. And if they're not in the pool, I want them to be removed from the rankings because, again, that's fair to the fans. That's fair to the other fighters. Will any of these things happen? I doubt it very much because it's the UFC. And it behooves the UFC to have someone like Conor McGregor in the rankings because it appears then that he is eligible to fight, even if he's not eligible to fight. And these questions can be easily answered. This issue could be easily solved. All the UFC has to do is let us know what's going on. But again, that's not likely to happen. Remember when UFC featherweight and UFC bantamweight champion Amanda Nunes was pondering retirement, or the statements were made where she kind of said she was pondering retirement? Well, in response to what Nunes said, UFC president Dana White said, and again, this is June 2020, I literally just told the guys the other day to build that division, speaking of the featherweight division. Start signing girls, let's start building that division. And now my girl, I'm assuming this is Nunes, is talking about retirement. Apparently, we got to get on the same page and figure this thing out. That was, again, 2020. Here we are, 2 years later, and basically, the UFC women's featherweight division is Amanda Nunes, Norma Dumont, and some other fighters that have more losses than wins or who have not fought in the featherweight division as of yet. So I'm kind of thinking that the idea of building the featherweight division was all a ploy that White threw out there to keep Nunes from retiring. There's nothing stopping the UFC from building the featherweight division other than that they don't want to. And I think they should want to because it puts another shiny thing on a poster for them. If the more title fights they can have, the more pay-per-views they can sell, the more they can use titles for ESPN pay-per-view events. It's a win for the fighters because it gets some fighters paid more, and then maybe that's why the UFC isn't doing this. It's a win for ESPN because they can throw it on the poster. So the fact that the UFC women's featherweight division hasn't been built up isn't because the fighters aren't there. It's because the UFC is not interested in doing it. And if that's the case, shutter the division. Because really, if you're just having it for one person and you're going to shutter it when she leaves, why have it? I'm in favor of having it. I'm in favor of having as many divisions as they can because it gets fighters paid. That might be the exact reason why the UFC is not in favor of expanding the featherweight division. Joe Pyfer. We saw these feel-good stories from multiple MMA media outlets where Pyfer was talking about how Dana White took care of him and how he doesn't understand how or why others are crapping on Dana White or have crapped on Dana White, which, come on, you do understand why. You're just trying to act like you don't. And the stories are, to be blunt, public relations stories in favor of the UFC. Not one of these stories did I see include any context about the situation Pyfer's in. Now, what the story on Pyfer's side is that White took care of him, paid for a place for him to live, gave him housing and whatnot, and was just generous to him between his Dana White Contender Series fight and his first UFC fight. And maybe that's true. Maybe that did happen. I'm going to assume that there's going to be strings to that agreement. They might not be seen. They might not be visible, but they're going to be there. And you probably, as a UFC fighter, don't want to owe Dana White or the UFC a favor. But that's neither here nor there. My problem with these stories is, like I said, they are PR stories for the UFC to make Dana White and the UFC look like they're just these generous people handing out money for the fighters and taking care of them. The reality of the situation is, and this is the context I think that should be included in these stories, is that Pyfer maybe is on the deal that the Dana White Contender Series fighters get, and that deal includes a $10,000 starting fee for your first fight. These fighters on the Dana White Contender Series don't get $12,000 to start. They get 10 and 10 deals. Those deals stink. This is the context that should be included. You should include the fact that, yeah, Dana White did this, but also the reason that Pyfer needs this is because he is getting a deal that probably pays him $10,000. And with that, a professional athlete in the biggest MMA organization in the world can't afford housing. Now, you want to look at this. The minimum pay for an NFL player is $700,000 plus. That's a bench warmer. A bench warmer is paid $700,000 for the NFL. A starting fighter for the UFC, $10,000. And I know you're going to get apologists that say you can't compare them, but the reality of the situation is it's a professional athlete making a lot of money for the UFC. I'd say he's probably making as much money as a bench warmer for the UFC than the bench warmer makes for his NFL team. And so, yeah, I understand that they're not comparable. They're not apples to apples here, but the big picture is a professional athlete in the biggest organization that's worth billions of dollars should be making at least a living wage, should be making at least a wage that he can pay for his housing and not have to have a part-time job. These are the things that get left out in these feel-good stories. So it looks feel-good on the surface. You scratch that surface just a little bit, and you see the reason that Joe Pyfer is thankful for the UFC and thankful for Dana White is because his pay doesn't allow him to pay for his own housing, which, professional athlete again, an organization that sold for $4 billion, and we're being told whenever White gets on the mic that it's worth more than that, maybe double that these days. Well, the pay hasn't gone up double since the sale, that's for sure. And I would say that leaving the context out of these stories is a dereliction of duty for the MMA media. It keeps them in the good graces of the UFC and keeps them getting access, which, okay. But that shouldn't be the goal of the MMA media. The goal should not be to get a free seat at a fight. It just shouldn't be. A lot of the times, it is. Raul Rosas Jr. is not the future of MMA. And let me explain here what I mean. I've heard this mentioned that Rosas, 17 years old, got signed for the Dana White Contender Series, is the future, and fighters like him are the future, and that this is what we're seeing right now is the future of MMA, and that we're seeing young men and women joining MMA and joining the UFC who have specifically trained to fight in MMA and therefore fight for the UFC. And that's what we're hearing. But that is the same thing we heard 12 years ago when fighters like Rory McDonald were joining the UFC. And the fact was that McDonald had trained in MMA, mixed martial arts, not wrestling, not a striking combat sport, but a mixture of all of the martial arts. And he was going to be the future. This is what we were going to see. This is going to be the future, is these young men and women are going to be specifically trained to fight MMA. Now, that might be true, but what is also true, and I think 12 years of history will back me up here, is that you're not going to get an elite athlete, unless they're in a very low weight division, to compete in MMA, strictly MMA, from the time they start training in athletics. You're just not. And the reason for that is the pay. Like I said here before, minimum pay in the NFL is $700,000. Minimum pay in other sports is probably less than that, but it's still in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Minimum pay in the UFC, again, the top level MMA, $10,000, and 20 if you win. But then you got to pay everything out of that 20. And the other sports, a lot of their training, fitness, travel, that's all included. The majority of that is not included in an MMA or a UFC contract. So you also have to take that into account. And so what I'm saying is you are not going to see elite athletes joining MMA organizations until or after they have, for lack of a better term, washed out of another sport. Because the money's not there. The only way this is going to change is if the money increases, and the money could increase, but the UFC doesn't want that, and other promotions follow the lead of the UFC. If the UFC wanted to pay more, it could, because we know the revenue split is 80% to the UFC, 20% to the fighters. And if you up that, if you make that even a little better, you're going to entice some elite athletes who like mixed martial arts to pursue that. But that's not the goal. The goal isn't to get elite athletes in the UFC and MMA. That's not the goal. It's never been the goal. It's nice when it happens, but it rarely happens because, again, the pay is not there. And the UFC doesn't want that. They're not going to up the pay to get these elite athletes because the goal isn't to have elite athletes. The goal is to stock enough fight cards to provide ESPN with content. That's the goal of the UFC, not to show you the best athletes in the world. If they get some of the best athletes in the world, great. If they don't, so what? They still have 26 fighters who can stock an ESPN card on a Saturday and get a certain number of people to tune in. And a certain number of people will always tune in. And right now, that number has to be profitable or else they'd be hearing pressure from ESPN. And so everything's working out great for the UFC. Not so great for the fighters, but that fighters aren't the UFC's focus. So the idea that Rosas or McDonald or anyone right now until there's a big sea change in UFC fighter pay is the future is just not true. The future is going to come when the pay is almost equal and you can attract elite athletes who trained specifically in this sport from the time they were young. You're not going to get that until the pay is equal, at least not in large numbers. You might get some outliers here and there, but big picture, you're going to get washouts from other sports, lighter weight fighters, perhaps that came up through wrestling and have no other outlet for future professional sports. But having a athlete who has a choice between I can make a starting team in the NFL or I can go to MMA, 100 times out of 100, that athlete is going to choose to go to the NFL. Even if they just make the practice squad, they're still going to make more than a UFC fighter. Because a UFC fighter, a champion is probably going to make $500,000 before pay-per-view points. And that's as the champion. If they lose that title, they drop down to $200,000 to $300,000. So even the best case scenario, you hold the title, you're still making less for your services than an bench warmer NFL player makes for a season. You can argue that and you can say, I'm not looking at things correctly. And there might be some truth in that, but you can't defend UFC fighter pay. You just can't. It's indefensible. And that's the long and short of it. So until the UFC starts paying comparable rates to the NFL, to NBA, to NHL, to MLB, they're not going to get comparable athletes. They're just not. John Nash wrote that Conor McGregor's current contract commenced at UFC 229 on October 6, 2018, meaning it should terminate a year from now. So the rubber match between Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz could actually take place outside the UFC. And I would encourage Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz to focus on that fact and focus their attention on making that fight happen outside the UFC. If it's an MMA fight, okay. If it's boxing, okay. Whatever. If it's jiu-jitsu, okay. Whatever combat sport it's going to take place as, it should happen outside the UFC and without any UFC influence, because that will allow Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz to make the most money possible. And at this point in their careers, that's what both of these men should be focused on. Conor McGregor made the most money of his career boxing Floyd Mayweather. The UFC reportedly still took half of his fee just for letting that happen. Conor McGregor doesn't need the UFC anymore. Nate Diaz doesn't need the UFC anymore. If they form an alliance here and make that rubber match happen outside the UFC, perfect. If it expands and they can form a partnership to help other fighters, also perfect. I don't think that that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be some new promotion that will pay everyone a ton of money and compete with the UFC. But even if it does it for just one night, even if it just opens the door, even if it just shows some fighters that this can happen, that you can make money outside the UFC, that's a win. That's a win for McGregor. That's a win for Diaz. That's a win for every fighter who is kind of in this situation. And there might not be many fighters in this situation, but there's going to be more and more as more fighters hit the stage in their career where their UFC contracts are expiring. That's just a fact. And McGregor is going to be pursued relentlessly to re-up with the UFC. I hope he fights that with all his might and all his will, and that he does not re-sign with the UFC for at least one fight outside the UFC. I hope it's this Nate Diaz fight, and I hope both men make tons of money, and I hope the UFC makes zero, because it would help everyone. Will it raise all ships big picture? Probably not, but it will present possibilities for other fighters. Fighters not advocating for higher pay, I think this is a lazy and untrue trope. Can't advocate and won't advocate are two very different things. And I think we have a situation here where can't outweighs won't. If you advocate for higher pay in the UFC, the UFC has ways of treating you poorly. Let's use, say, Nate Diaz as an example. Nate Diaz wants out of his contract. He's a free agent after this final fight. And who does the UFC book him against? Hamza Chimaev, a fighter who is ranked way above Nate Diaz, a fighter who is at a way different point in his career as Nate Diaz. And so the fight is booked to hurt Nate Diaz financially, hurt him physically, and hurt his reputation on the way out the door. So don't tell me that fighters won't advocate for themselves. They've kind of been taught if they advocate for themselves, the UFC is going to do everything they can to damage them. And further, the idea that UFC fighters don't care, I don't believe that either. I think they are in a situation where they're kind of forced to act like they don't care. Because if you look at the poll The Athletic did in 2020, 77% of the fighters said that they thought the UFC pay was not appropriate. 77% of the fighters polled by The Athletic said the UFC fighter pay was not appropriate. 15.9% said it was appropriate. And 7.1 were either unsure or refused to answer the question. And so, again, can't advocate for themselves or won't advocate for themselves are two different things. But the repercussions are such that it's not really in their best interest to do so. Because the UFC, one, has the bully pulpit and can influence the media. And two, has the booking where they can just book whoever against whoever and hurt that fighter financially, physically, and reputational on the way out the door. So the fighters won't advocate for themselves. I don't buy it. I think it's more a case that the fighters can't advocate for themselves. Because like I said, look what happened to Nate Diaz. He advocated for himself, and the UFC tried to destroy him.